Good evening, everyone. It's a privilege to be with you here tonight during your camp meeting. Let me, before I forget, immediately extend my thanks to God for sending this invitation through Elder Gallimore. I don't know if you realize how privileged preachers are to preach the gospel. But I believe I speak for all preachers when I say, nothing excites us more than an opportunity to preach the words of life. And so I am singularly blessed this evening to be here with you, God's people. And again, I thank God for sending the invitation through Elder Gallimore. And I also want to thank my very good friend who is not here tonight, Dr. Samuel Quaranting Pippim, because I am quite sure he had something to do with my being here tonight. And I want to acknowledge that publicly, give credit where credit is due. You tend to live a little longer that way. I also want to extend my profound thanks for the effect on my ministry that American Cassette Ministries has had. And as I go from place to place speaking, I realize, of course, that much of that is due to my having worked with them and they're working with me. 2 months ago, I got a call from Australia, an email actually. We're having a series of meetings and we need a speaker. Would you come? And before I finished the email, I was curious, how did they get my name? And as I ended the email, they said, we got your name from American Cassette Ministry. So I am grateful for that ministry, for its impact on my ministry, and may God bless them. I thank God for you. Can you say amen? Amen. I thank Him for you because preachers need someone to preach to. So I am very pleased you are here. You were not forced. You are here of your own will. And I'm sure God will bless us all tonight and in the nights to come. Let me tell you very quickly what is in store for you. Now, the theme for this week while I speak is lawful and awful. That's the theme for the week. Lawful and awful. I'll be talking about the holiness of God. I will be talking about the holiness of God from the perspective of His law. So our theme is lawful and awful. Our subject for tonight is Highway Calvary Goes Through Sinai. Highway Calvary Goes Through Sinai. Our subject for tomorrow night is a first look at the last straw. That's tomorrow night. A first look at the last straw, and you and I know very well what damage the last straw can do. So we need to take a look at the last straw. On Wednesday evening, our title is A New Life, Not New Age. New Life, Not New Age. And on Thursday evening, which concludes this brief mini evangelistic series, our subject is Final Farewell of the Fallen. Final Farewell of the Fallen. I hope you keep those in mind. Throughout this week, I want you to pray for me because it is essential that those of us who stand in this place, this capacity, that we do so with the assurance that God's people are praying for us. Preaching is not a one-person performance. It is not a performance at all. But whatever it is not a one-person activity. It is a one-person speaking, but many people praying. Can I count on you to pray for me? Raise your hand quickly and take them down just as quickly without hitting anyone. I think that's all the housekeeping for now. Let's pray and get right into the message. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank you for life. Hard as it is sometimes, we thank you for life. We thank you for this camp meeting and all the efforts made to make it spiritual and Christ-centered. Father, as I stand before your people, I ask you in the name of Jesus to bless them with enlightened minds and quickened understandings. I pray that God that you would give to me the words to say, as you assured Moses in Exodus chapter 4, verse 12, when you said to him, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." Father, I plead with you now, teach me what I should say. And Father, on behalf of my people, I ask you to grant us your spirit that he may not only make the words clear to them and convict their hearts, but that he may also touch the heart of anyone who may be tempted to talk while your manservant speaks. Father, banish this act of irreverence, I pray, please, for the sake of the work of the Spirit who is easily grieved. Let this not happen. That this may be a worship experience characterized by reverence for a holy God. I offer this prayer in Jesus' name, and for his sake, let all God's people say with me, amen and amen. Let me tell you why I mention talking in my prayer. I am easily distracted by people who have side conversations while I'm trying to have the central conversation. So if you can avoid it for the next half an hour, maybe 40 minutes, try your level best to focus not on me, but on the pulpit, on the Word, because my heartfelt desire is that you will see Christ, and certainly not me, and I don't say that flippantly. Highway Calvary goes through Sinai. In the book of Exodus, chapter 19, we shall read from verse 3. And my favorite, my pet version, is the King James Version. Any other version is fine. But I read from the King James Version. Exodus, chapter 19, verse 3. Before we get to verse 3, let's recap the earlier chapters of Exodus, beginning from chapter 14. In that chapter, God has brought the Israelites across the Red Sea safely. And in chapter 15, as people are wont to do after they have come through an exciting experience, they celebrate and they sing the song of Moses. In 16, they're hungry and God rains manna from heaven. And of course, he allows them to eat some quail that they might learn that the better choice was the manna and not quail. Can somebody say amen? All right. You see, if you don't say amen, I will take it that you don't agree. If you say amen, I will take it that you agree and that you want me to keep going. So I said God's preference for them was manna. All right. And that's his preference for you. In chapter 17, they come into the wilderness of Rephidim, and they are thirsty, and God instructs Moses to strike the rock in the presence of the elders with his rod, and Moses strikes that rock, and out flows water. Also in chapter 17, Amalek attacks the rear guard of the Israelites, and God pronounces a curse that someday he would blot Amalek from off the face of the earth. In chapter 18, Moses' father-in-law, Brother Jethro, comes to see him. And when Jethro sees the burden of administration that caused Moses' shoulders to bend with the weight, Jethro offered a recommendation that Moses quickly adopted in order to ease the burden of being in charge. Now, in chapter 19, they have come into the wilderness of Sinai, we're told in chapter 1, in verse 1. Of chapter 19, to the base of Mount Sinai. And there we're told, Israel camped before the mount. Exodus 19, verse 2. Verse 3 tells us, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the people are the children of Israel. Now, God is giving specific instructions. Now, listen to what he says in verse 4 of Exodus 19. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be unto me a peculiar treasure above all people, for all the earth is mine. And in verse 6 he says, then ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Let's go back to verse 4 of Exodus 19. God says to them, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. Now let me suggest to you carefully that seeing what God does and seeing God may not be the same thing. In John chapter 6, Jesus performed a miracle. And that miracle is recorded in John, in Luke, in Mark, and in Matthew, going backwards. It is the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus told the crowd that followed him across the lake that they did not see the miracle. They devoured the loaves, but did not see the miracle. That's what he told them. It is possible to see an expression of God's power without perceiving the presence of God. And so the Bible says, Exodus 19:4, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. What did God do unto the Egyptians as we continue with Highway Calvary goes through Sinai? Well, he sent the plague of blood. First plague. Well, that didn't work. He sent the plague of frogs. That didn't work. He sent the plague of lice. When that did not work, he sent the plague of flies. And that failed. He sent the plague, what we may call murrain, a plague on cattle. That didn't work. He sent the plague of boils. That failed. He sent the plague of hail. That failed. He sent the plague of locusts. That failed. He sent the plague of darkness that could be felt, the Bible says. That failed. 9 attempts God made to get through to Pharaoh, so that Pharaoh might see who God is, not simply what he can do. And each attempt failed until the back-breaking 10th plague, the destroying angel. And the Israelites witnessed this. And so God says to them in verse 4, Exodus 19, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. Now God is saying to you tonight, ye have seen what I have done in your life. Has God done anything in your life? Can I see your right hand? Some hands are not up. I might assume God has done nothing for you. Raise those hands again. If God has moved in your life, let me see your right hand. Ye have seen what I did in your life. But God is asking, is it possible that in the midst of the glory, in the glare, in the brightness, in the explosion of the demonstration of my power, you were so blinded you did not see me? And so he says to them in verse 5, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed. You know, the word indeed is very critical. Some of us obey God, but not really indeed. We obey after a fashion. We obey after a form. Not many of us obey indeed. God says, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. In other words, my personal possession. Above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now in verse 7, the Bible says, and Moses came and called the elders of Israel and laid before their faces the words that God had commanded him. Moses went down and told them precisely what God said. And in verse 8 of Exodus 19, the Bible says, and all the people said together, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. It was as if there was a mass choir in the wilderness. The verse says, and all the people answered together. It was a large choir, and they were singing flat. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. With our own power, you see. No help from God. We'll do it. Now, God has to show them the rashness of what they just said. Very often we say things recklessly, impetuously, unthinkingly, and sometimes God arranges circumstances to bring us face to face with the foolishness of what we say. Now, how does God show a man or a woman his or her weakness? His or her inability to rise up to a standard of holiness, a standard of righteousness, a standard of personal ethics that is the wonder of the entire universe. How does God let a man or a woman know, you cannot do all that I have said? Before we do that, let's go to the book of Revelation. We go from Exodus to Revelation. Exodus to Revelation. And time is flying quickly. It's 8:22. How many of you have an appointment after the service? Let me see your hand. I can't tell you how happy I am. All right. What did I say? What book did I say? What verse did I say? What chapter? I didn't say. Okay, you're listening. All right. Revelation is the book, and the chapter is chapter 11. And the verse is 15. This is the sounding of the seventh trumpet. Revelation 11, reading from verse 15. How many of you are still awake? Can I see your hands? You're still awake? God bless you. If someone next to you is sleeping, please bump that person accidentally. As I usually say, wake the person up, because the person may sleep for 15 seconds just as I say something essential for their eternal salvation. You don't have to miss much to miss the kingdom. You remember what Jesus told that scribe in Mark chapter 12? Thou art not far from the kingdom of heaven. Now, he wasn't there. He was close, but he wasn't there. Thou art not far. If you sleep, Jesus may say, oh my, oh my. And she just was not that far, but she slept. The five foolish virgins weren't harlots. They were virgins. So don't sleep. You promised me to stay awake? Say amen. Amen. Say it louder. Amen. One more time, louder. Amen. All right, this is the audience that is awake, a congregation. What chapter did I say? Amen. What book did I say? Amen. And what verse did I say? Amen. All right, the sounding of the seventh trumpet. And when the seventh trumpet had sounded, there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Now let's skip verse 18, go right to verse 19. And the temple of God was what? Was opened where? In heaven. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were what? Lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake. Yes, what else? And great hail. Yes, lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. This was seen when the temple of God was opened in heaven. And as Adventists, we know that this is in connection with the three angels' messages, because it was then that the Sabbath commandment began to shine out as it had not shone for hundreds and hundreds of years. Because when Jesus passed into the most holy place, he parted that veil. And this light of the Sabbath truth and the central role of the commandments in the gospel began to be made plain by the forefathers of this church, which I believe by scripture to be God's unique church. Do you believe that? And so when the law of God was revealed, the Bible says there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail under the seventh trumpet. Let's take a look earlier in Revelation, chapter 4, let's read verse 5. As we continue with Highway Calvary goes through Sinai. Revelation chapter 4, we shall read verse 5. Revelation chapter 4, we shall read verse 5, that's right. Verse 5 says, and out of the throne proceeded what? Lightnings and thunderings and voices, yes, out of the throne. Now, you know from your study of the sanctuary that the model on earth, where was the throne on earth? What was the throne? The box containing the Ten Commandments, which was covered by what? The mercy seat. This was God's throne, and he informed Moses, Exodus 25, verse 20 through 22, from there I will issue all my commands from that throne. Now, the Bible does say that from time to time, God met with Moses at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, meaning the entrance to the holy place. But it is not important where God stands geographically when he speaks. We need to understand, whenever he speaks, regardless of his geographical location, his words have the authority of words that issue from the throne. God never speaks unless he speaks as God. Are you following me? Are you sure? All right. And so out of the throne of which the foundation is justice and judgment. Psalm 97 verse 2, Psalm 89 verse 14, justice and judgment. The throne, its foundation is justice, judgment, the law of God. From that throne issued lightnings and voices and thunderings. Let's go to Revelation chapter 8. This now is the seventh seal. We looked at the seventh trumpet in chapter 11. Let's look at the seventh seal. Revelation 8. You are familiar with the events of that chapter. Verse 1, there's silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Verse 2, John sees seven angels. To them were given seven trumpets. Verse 3 and 4, an angel is given much incense, which he offers with the saints of the prayers. Now in verse 5, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. Now let's read together. And there were what? Voices and? That and? Yes. What else? And an earthquake. What we see under the seventh trumpet, we see under the seventh seal, lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake. Because this is coming from the throne of God. Let's go to Revelation 16. We looked at the seventh trumpet. We looked at the seventh seal. Let's look at the seventh plague. Revelation 16. The beginning of the seventh plague. Verse 17. What does verse 17 say? And the seventh angel poured out his where? And what happened? Yes, and said what? It is done. Yes, it is done. Now, where did that voice come from? It came from the throne. Who else has the authority to conclude a heavenly program but God Himself? It is done. Who sent that on earth? Where was He? On the cross. Where in the sanctuary do we find the highest expression of the plan of salvation? Mercy and law have touched together. Where's that? Yes, we have the law. The reason why there's condemnation, the law has been broken, but what do we have above the law? Mercy. Why are the angels looking down and desire to look into this? They desire to look into the plan of salvation. Because they cannot understand how a righteous God can make a way of salvation for sinners such as you and such as I am. It is done. Now after it is done is spoken, what happens? They were what? What are they? Their voices and their words what? Thundering and lightning and earthquake. And in verse 21, there is hail. So what we see in the seventh seal, what we see in the seventh trumpet, what we see in the seventh plague, events towards the end of time, what I'm saying to you is, towards the end of time, as God's law flashed out, when Jesus moved from the holy to the most holy, before Jesus comes, the law of God must be magnified again. And the people to uphold and magnify God's law, that the earth may see the thunderings or hear the thunderings, see the lightnings, hear the voices. Those people charged with that sacred responsibility are seated before me tonight. Somebody say amen. Too many Adventists are ashamed of the law. Ashamed of the Sabbath, ashamed of the thunderings and the lightnings and the voices. Now, you'll also find that expression in Revelation 19, verse 6, verse 7. Thunderings, lightnings, voices, and earthquake. Now, we had left off at Exodus 19, verse 4, where God said, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians." And of course, in verse 8, all the Israelites said together, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And God had to show them that the standard is so high, they of themselves could never, ever do it. How does God do that? Now let's run quickly all the way back to the book of Exodus. And we shall pick it up at verse 10. Exodus 19, what verse did I say? It's 28 minutes to 9. I'll try to finish as soon as I can, and I want you to look sad when I say that. You look too happy. Exodus 19, reading from verse 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. Now God is making preparation to come down. Because in verse 9 he said to Moses, and the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. God had told Moses, I am coming down. Verse 4, ye have seen what I did. They saw the blood, they saw the frogs, but there was something the Israelites did not see, and they were about to see it. Verse 13, there shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. Verse 16 now is where it gets exciting. Remember the lightnings and the thunderings and the voices in the book of Revelation. Exodus 19, verse 16, the Bible says, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were what? Thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp did what? Trembled. Now, they did not tremble when they saw water turn to blood. At least, the Bible doesn't say that. They did not tremble when they saw frogs all over Egypt. They trembled not when they saw the lice. They did not tremble when they saw the flies, when they saw the boils on the cattle, when they saw the locusts and the plague and the hail and the darkness. They did not tremble when the destroying angel came through, because they were safe under the blood. Can you say amen? But now something makes them tremble. The road to Calvary goes through Sinai. The Bible says all the people that were in the camp trembled. And if you read the account in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, Moses said, my knees began to knock. What makes a man's knees knock? Fear. But fear, F-E-A-R, has more than one meaning. Let's go to verse 17. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. What's the nether part? Close or far? Backed up. What did the prophet say? Woe is me, for I'm a man of what? Unclean lips. What made him say that? He saw the glory and the holiness of God and the prophet backed up. Sometimes to get close to God, you've got to back up. I have no right to be in the presence of that kind of holiness. Woe is me. Job 42 verses 5 and 6. Job said, now that I see God, I hate myself and repent in sackcloth and ashes. He too backed up. And God was about to make those fast-talking Israelites back up. Those people who had said, oh, that the Lord has spoken, we will do. God's, it's time for these people to back up out of my face. Does he send destroying angels? No. Verse 18 says, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount did what? It quaked. What's that? Earthquake. Did we see an earthquake in Revelation 11? Yes. Did we see one in Revelation 16, the seventh plague? Yes. There was one at Sinai. Because God came down to declare His holiness. And he had no more effective way prior to the coming of Christ to declare his holiness than to declare his what? His law. Let me ask you again. The correct answers came from behind here, but you look brighter. So let me ask you again. He came to declare his holiness by declaring what? His law. Say it again. His law. That thing that sticks in our craw sometimes. His law. You want to see how holy God is? Read the Ten Commandments. When God came to declare his law, and the people saw what kind of a God he is after he spoke the law. Verse 18, Revelation 20. Let's go to that very next chapter, Revelation chapter 20, verse, not Revelation, what chapter, what book should I say? Exodus, thank you for the correction. Exodus 20, reading from verse 18, the Bible says, and all, do you have it? Exodus 20, verse 18, and all the people saw what? The thunderings and the lightnings and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they did what? They removed and stood afar off. Woe are we. Now here's what they said to Moses, verse 18, Exodus 20. And the people said unto Moses, speak thou with us. And we will what? We will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. It is a very dangerous thing to come into the presence of God unprepared. What did God tell Moses to tell the people back in chapter 19, verse 10? And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. You can't come into God's presence unclean. You cannot come into the presence of a holy God looking any way you like. Just can't do it. God told Moses, tell those people to clean up and dress up. Because I am coming down. And Moses said to the people in verse 20 of the book of Exodus chapter 20, and Moses said unto the people, fear not. In other words, don't be terrified. You should be awe-stricken because it's lawful and awful. But don't be terrified. This is not a pit bull. This is God. Fear not, for God is come to test you. That his what? His fear may be before your face, that ye sin not. This morning I have the great privilege of conducting a workshop on Sabbath school, how to prepare to teach. How many of you were there? Are you present here tonight? God bless you. Come back tomorrow. And one of the principles I gave them was, a Sabbath school teacher must always be aware that teaching is a spiritual gift given by God for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There must be an unsleeping consciousness of that part of teaching. There are some things we must not forget for a second. You must never forget you're a Seventh-day Adventist. Can I have a few more amens? Just a few more. Why do I have to beg? You must never forget you are a Seventh-day Adventist Christian raised up by God to carry out a function no other church on the face of the earth was carrying out, is carrying out, or can carry out. How do you forget that? No matter where President Bush goes, he cannot forget that he is the President of the United States, because one silly move and it's all over the newspapers. It makes the country look bad. He cannot forget. Not even if he goes on vacation, how he chooses his vacation spot. He can't go to a nightclub because he's the President.
And he is never off duty. You and I are never off duty. The fear of God must be before our face.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And Moses said, look, God came to put his fear, to show you his holiness, his righteousness, his flawlessness, and his awfulness, and his lawfulness.
If you keep this in mind, if you keep it before your face,
you will not sin. Many of us sin and sin and sin as though it is our spiritual gift.
Because God's fear is not before our face. What the world thinks is before our face. The latest fashion is before our face. Getting ahead is before our face. Getting our children into the best secular schools is before our face. The fear of God.
Pursuing all the money you can get does not keep you from sin. I mean, get all you can and give it to the conference, but that's not what keeps you from sin. The fear of God, constant recognition of the holiness, the reverence of God. Jesus died because the holiness of God was offended. The law was broken. The law is holy, just, and good. A holy law was broken. And mankind, the offender, has to be reacquainted with this holy standard that he offended. If the law weren't so important to God, an angel could have come and died. We can measure the importance of the law by measuring the sacrifice made to satisfy that law. There could have been no higher sacrifice than Jesus Christ himself. When we take God's commandments lightly, we take God lightly. I don't care what fancy argument you bring to me. A man or a woman who disregards the sanctity of the Sabbath disregards God. Forgive me for getting up in your faces. But that's my work. Let me say it again. If you take God's law lightly, you're taking God lightly. How many of you want to take God seriously? I believe you. I believe you. And so Calvary was erected because of a broken law. And no one can fully appreciate Calvary who does not understand what happened at Sinai. The Bible says very clearly, Psalm 19, I believe is verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, doing what? Converting the soul. The law is an instrument of conversion in the sense that it awakens in us our desperate condition, our helplessness, our weakness. And we say, thank you, law. And the law now takes us where? To Calvary. You cannot get to Calvary and bypass Sinai. Cannot do it. And so tonight and for the rest of this week, I want to promote and uplift and uphold the holiness of God as expressed in his law. There is no higher expression other than Christ of the holiness of God, so that when he came down and he spoke the Ten Commandments, what the Israelites did not see in the plagues, they saw in the law. The righteousness and the holiness of God. Let me ask you a question. I don't want you to answer me. Don't raise your hands. Don't do anything. Just listen to the question and answer me in your heart. How many of us have taken God's law lightly? Don't raise your hands. Think. You know in your heart, in the inner sanctum, the privacy of your heart, you by your behavior and I by mine, we have taken God's law lightly. We have not been intimidated by the thunderings and the lightnings and the voices. We have not been impressed. God, oh, that has been our attitude. And you want to say you're sorry in your heart. Lord, I have taken you lightly. And I am sorry. I want you to apologize to God in your hearts as you sit where you sit. Just tell God, I have taken you lightly. I have disrespected your holiness in one way or the other, and I am sorry. I heard some things tonight that convicted me, and I apologize for my low regard of your holiness as expressed in your law. Please forgive me. All those of you who just did that, would you stand? I want to offer special prayer for you. And I want you to come and get the prayer. I can pray for you where you are, but God loves people to move. Here's my simple call. And if it applies to you, move quickly. Any man or woman who will say, Father, that message was for me. You know some messages are just for us? That message was for me. And I want to make a public demonstration that I will take your law seriously. Come and stand right here very quickly. Come quickly. Don't take a lot of time. I want to close the service. Come quickly. This sermon touched me personally. And I want to say publicly that I want to regard God's law with all respect that is due to the Creator of heaven and earth. You come quickly. Fill up this space. Let us pray and the Lord will hear us. Just come. God bless you as you come. When I say God bless you, I'm actually saying a prayer. I am praying to God to bless you. When I say God bless you, that's a prayer. My eyes are open, but it's a prayer. God bless you and your children and your family as you come. I have taken your law lightly. I am sorry. From my heart, I apologize to a holy God and put into my heart from this point on a reverence for you that will be seen in how I talk, how I behave, how I dress, how I eat, how I spend my time. Because your fear will forever be before my face. Who else is coming? If there's no room, if you can't move, raise a hand to let God know and let me know that you are here with us in heart. God bless you. That brother raised two hands. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hands. God bless you. God bless you, sister, my sweet brother. God bless you. God bless you. Just before I pray, one other request. Many of us have spiritual struggles. We all have them. If there's someone here who says, Elder Skeet, tonight as you pray, I want you to think of me specially and pray because I have a spiritual struggle. I need intercession. Raise your hand, quick. God bless you. God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, we come before you tonight because we have nowhere else to go. We come there, God, boldly to the throne of grace, but entirely undeserving. But we come because, as Peter says, thou hast the words of life. Father, as we bow in your presence tonight, we ask you, Father, from our hearts, forgive us for taking you lightly. Forgive us for undervaluing your sacred law that is the foundation of happiness in heaven. Forgive us for having a cheap view of what it means to be holy. Cleanse our hearts, dear God, please. We ask in the name of Jesus, and we believe we have asked according to your will, and Father, we accept right now this forgiveness. But Lord, we don't want to leave until you give us a special blessing. Father, we do not want to say like our forefathers, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. We do not possess the capacity to do what you say. We come to Jesus who has it.
And we say, Father, for the sake of Jesus, you give us some spiritual strength that we might see the beauty of your law and the attractiveness of your character, and it may become that which we desire most.
Father, there are brothers and sisters before me struggling. They are struggling. They want to do right, but they've got to struggle. Lord, in Mark 9, when that father wanted his son healed, and Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. The father said, Lord, I believe. And with a breaking heart, he said, help thou my unbelief.
Father, we bring to you the little faith that we have. It's all we have. Father, take it and help our unbelief now.
And strengthen us, dear God. Strengthen us. Don't let us fall prey to the enemy. You strengthen us. We ask you publicly that heaven and earth may record that we have begged you, strengthen us. And claim us as your own. Oh, loving Father, let this camp meeting not pass as just any other camp meeting. You are sick of routine. But let it be an event that marks a turning point in our lives. Father, watch over us tonight. This is holy ground. Protect it. Protect us. And let the words we have heard remain in our minds tonight. Bless all my beautiful brothers and sisters, I pray. Bring us back tomorrow night. In Jesus' name and for His sake, let everyone say with me, amen, 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 and amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You may return quietly to your seats. I'd like you to sing a little chorus for me if it's okay. It's called, God is So Good. And when you get back to your seats, we shall sing, God is So Good. Is God good? Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Let's go back to our seats. We shall stand and we shall sing, God is so good. Everyone singing? God. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Sing as though you mean it. One more time, sing it. God is so good. Yes, God is truly good. All the ladies singing. Sing, ladies, sing like angels, sing. Every lady singing in this place. Yes, He is good. Yes, He is. All the men sing like the apostles. God is good. Sing, men, sing, sing. As one heavenly family, let's sing it one more time. Yes, yes, He is. And as we say all the time, He's good. Sing it. One more time, one more time. God is good, God is good. Sing. Ah, yes, God is good indeed. Sing the song, my brethren. Sing it. Yes. Yes, He is. Praise His holy name. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Let God's people say with me three times, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Sleep well.
This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.